Let's pray for just a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you that we are here right now in this place and that you are here right now in this place. Thank you that we don't have to wait any longer. That right now, we can be still in your presence. We can rejoice in your presence. We can hear the word that you have for us by the power of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we are here in this moment with you. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So today is Confirmation Sunday. If you haven't been around Salem or maybe a church that does confirmation, maybe you don't know. But our students here have gone through 3 years of learning Old Testament and New Testament, walking the stories of God and God's people through the centuries. They've been learning the teachings of Jesus. They've been learning the history of the church. They've been memorizing things like the books of the Bible, not all the words in them, but the names of those books in the right order. They've been learning the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments. They've been doing service projects. They've been meeting with their teachers week after week, including with me through their third year. It's quite a rigorous process. And just a couple of weeks ago, I met with each one individually to ask them, after 3 years, where are you in your walk with God? You know, what have you learned, if anything? And what is it you're going to carry with you? And ask them for at least one thing that really stood out for them out of their 3 years. And it was really wonderful to talk with them about that and about where they are in their faith at this point. And today, I got to tell them, here's what I want you to know at the heart of 3 years. After a whole year with me, week after week, here's at the heart of what I want you to know as you go forward into life. And what I shared with them came out of Romans chapter 5. This is actually the text for today because today is Trinity Sunday. It's a day in the calendar of the church year where we remember not just what God has done, but who God is. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this mystery that's beyond our comprehension and yet helps us to understand the reality of who God is. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, my favorite professor, one of them, I should say, somebody asked me that the other day, who's your favorite professor in seminary? I'm like, well, I had several. There were some great professors at North Park. But one of them was certainly Klein Snodgrass, even though he probably gave me my worst grades. He kept pushing me. You know, one of those guys that you love and you're kind of annoyed by also. He spoke on this passage not that long ago, last year, and said, this is the mountaintop of the book of Romans, verses 1 through 5. In these five verses, you'll find all the key themes from the book of Romans. You'll hear things that get explained in more detail in other chapters, things like justification, faith, peace with God, the Trinity, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God. You'll hear about endurance. You'll hear about the glory of God. You'll hear about grace. You'll hear about love. So let's listen and see if it doesn't, if you've been through confirmation or if you've thought about Christianity or Jesus' teaching, see what kind of themes, words jump out at you. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I know it probably says that up there. That's the NRSV. The NIV says who has been given to us. And I think that's just an important distinction. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person. And in the Greek, it makes that more clear. But know that, that God is with you in the Holy Spirit, not just some abstract thing. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So I just want to walk through just a few things in this passage. First of all, Paul says that since we are justified by faith, this is one of the key distinctions. You know, I've spent 3 years with these confirmation students. What I want them to know is that justification before God comes through faith. This is, I don't know if it's the distinctive. It's certainly at the heart of what is distinctive about the Christian faith, about the gospel. Virtually every religion in the world, including Christianity, when it's not centered on faith, on grace, virtually every religion in the world is centered on justifying ourselves before God, making ourselves worthy of being loved. And in fact, even if you're not a religious person, we spend so much of life trying to make ourselves worthy of being loved, living with shame, living with guilt, trying to figure out how can I make myself worthy of people liking me. If they knew me, can they? What Jesus offers us is a justification through faith. All you have to do is believe the good news that God loves you. That's it. The chapter before this, chapter 4 in Romans, talked about Abraham. It didn't talk about all the wonderful things he did that justified himself before God. It said his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed in God. He trusted God's love. And that's the first and fundamental thing that we need to know, that to come into this relationship with God, and as Paul goes on, this peace with God, the only way to have that, to get there, is by simply giving up our need to prove anything. And throw ourselves on the mercy of God. Because as Paul says 3 verses later, God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, before you did anything. When you were even God's enemy, Christ died for you. That's a love you can trust. Have faith. We're saved not by works, lest anyone should boast, but by faith. Paul goes on to talk about, you know, that we've obtained this access, we've obtained this peace with God, this justification through faith, but we've obtained this grace in which we stand. Now, this is another key concept in the New Testament, and certainly in the book of Romans, that the grace God offers us, this forgiveness, this love, the generosity of God's goodness, doesn't just have to do with getting us into heaven. So if you think that the Christian faith is about getting, an insurance policy that you can kind of hold on to and hand in when you get before judgment, you're missing out. The grace in which we stand, he's not saying in which we will stand when we get to judgment, when Jesus comes back, when the end of the world comes. He's saying the grace in which we stand today, that grace, that love of God is for each one of us today. We can live in that, abide in that. Count on that. In fact, you know, it reminds me of a time in which I was tubing out in Colorado, the South Platte River. And, you know, it's just a fun time going down there, some little ripples and even some rapids. But there was this one waterfall that I didn't know was coming. You've ever done that in life where everything's going along just fine and, oh, I didn't see that coming. Happens all the time. Over the waterfall I went. The water is pummeling down upon me. I'm being pressed down, and I'm scared. I let go of the tube, and I start clawing at the water to get to the surface, but the water keeps pushing me down, and I can't breathe. And finally, I make myself my way up to the surface, and I pop my head out, take a big gasp of air, and I see my friend just over to the side in his tube holding on to mine. He pushes it over to me and says, Next time, hang on to your tube. It's going to come back up. You might not. That's the grace in which we stand. We need to hold on to this grace, this faith, this love of God, to trust in it come what may, through whatever the challenges, those waterfalls, and they do come in our lives. We need to stay, as Jesus puts it, rooted in him, or as he says in John 15, abiding in him. This is a picture a friend of mine took of a tree up in the mountains where erosion has been wasting away at the rock around it. But can you see how thick those roots are? It wants to abide in that rock. It's finding where its nourishment comes from. Is it up there now?
No.
Well, it's a beautiful picture. See, didn't I tell you? And can you see how thick those roots are? That's what that tree's been working at, abiding in that which gives it life. And how important for us to make sure we remember that. That in the midst of the challenges that come our way, the storms, the rain, the wind, whatever comes, that First of all, when we get up in the morning, when we go back to bed at night, when we walk through the day, we make sure that we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and this grace of God. He will not fail us. That's the song that our teens sang for us in the first two services. His love has not failed us yet. It will never fail us. You can depend on it, but we need to be abiding in that grace. We are standing in that grace. So we have peace with God through faith. We live standing in the grace of God. And every day we need to make sure that one of the things that we have in our devotional for our students to do, and you can find it online at our website, this devotional guide, it begins, it's called Basics. But the first thing is be still. To just be still and know who God is, to make sure that you're rooted every day. It's the first step in every day. Make sure that you're rooted. But then Paul goes on to talk about boasting. I kind of love this because certainly for our confirmation students, today would be a day to boast a little bit. Although we don't do a lot of boasting here at Salem. You know, like, it's okay. It won't be. But, 3 years, all that work, it's worth feeling kind of happy about that. But what Paul talks about, actually he says you should be boasting. I mean, this is remarkable. That it's time for us to start boasting, not so much in finishing confirmation or whatever the accomplishment might be in your life, but for us to start boasting, I mean, to really start boasting in the hope that we've been given of sharing in the glory of God. I mean, ultimately, that's what the good news is about, the gospel, is that we, through faith in Jesus, trusting the grace of God, going forward into life with God, we have this great hope of sharing in the glory of God. The glory of God is when God brings all things together for good. You know, when Jesus returns and all things are under the feet of God, all things are reconciled, where human beings are back to the way we were created to be, like in the garden, the glory of God is revealed in human beings who are fully alive. And so we have this great hope that God is going to accomplish that. That day is coming. But it's not just that day in the future. It's this day right now. Every time God's goodness is revealed. Every time we see in our relationships with one another love being expressed, when you do an act of kindness or you see something good taking place in our world, every time the goodness of God is revealed and we get to share in that glory of God's goodness by participating with God in his work in the world. That's why we talk so much here at Salem about finding our ways to serve here at Salem and in the world beyond. Because we get to share in the glory of God right here and right now. We've got this hope that burns within us. And it's a hope that the world around us cannot quench. I love the movie, The Princess Bride. Anybody seen that? Spoiler alert if you haven't. But I love the scene, you know, when they're up on the mountain and Inigo Montoya, you know, has his sword out and he's ready to fight Wesley. It's been a long climb for Wesley up that cliff, and you might remember how Inigo actually helped him get up there because he's just tired of waiting for him so he can kill him. And they have this wonderful, respectful, witty dialogue going on. But ultimately, Inigo has a job to do, and so they brandish their swords and they begin to duel. And after it's gone on a little while and Wesley's getting the best of the fight, Inigo says to him, "You are amazing," or "You are wonderful." And Wesley says, "Thank you. I've worked hard to become so." And then Inigo says, "I admit that you are better than I am." And Wesley says, "Then why are you smiling?" And Inigo says, "Because I am not left-handed." And he switches hands, and suddenly he takes control of the fight. And they battle up these stairs and over to a crumbling wall that oversees that precipice, that huge cliff, and the sea is down below them. And Wesley is pressed against that, and he says, he's using his left hand, he says to Inigo, "You are amazing." And Inigo says, "I've worked hard for 20 years to become like that." And Wesley says, "But I ought to tell you something." And Inigo says, "What's that?" He says, "I'm not left-handed either." And he switches hands and puts an end to the fight very quickly. I love that image. I know something that you don't know. Not in a proud, boastful way, but in a confident, secure way. We've been told something. Something's been revealed to us. This hope has been given to us. That the world cannot take away. A peace has been given to us that the world cannot take away. And we actually ought to be boasting in it. It ought to be so evident in the way we live our lives, the way we act, that the world would say to us, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we'll have to give a defense for that hope that's within us. We'll have to explain, well, here's why I have that half a smile on my face, even though life seems so horrible right now. Or here's why I actually have a bright smile right now. Here's why I have this hope that burns within me. Because Jesus has risen from the dead. Because God has poured his love into my heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to me. And so I don't fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, you know, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord? Can hardship or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The list goes on. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Throughout the book of Romans, these themes continue to reverberate. And I pray that this morning, as these students are confirmed and as we gather here to worship the living God who has overcome even death itself, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll allow that hope to burn bright within us. So when you get up tomorrow morning and you're looking at that day ahead, you'll tell your face to at least put a half smile on. When you go to bed at night and you're looking back at the challenges you faced, you'll say, "God, thank you. Yeah, there it is, there it is." That you'll put your faith day by day, morning by morning, night by night, you'll put your faith, your hope in God. And that hope in us would burn so brightly. In a world where honestly people are despairing, we're just like so many others. Oh no, look at our nation, look at our community, look at our churches, look at our world. Where's the hope that burns within us that knows that God is God, that Jesus has overcome death, that we will trust God and be faithful to God through even death itself? Because God is able to do abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. I mean, he's already done that. Did you notice what we celebrated at Easter? Did you notice what we celebrated last week at Pentecost as he gives us the Holy Spirit? Have you noticed that the God we worship this morning reigns over all? So may we put Jesus right there at the center, and may we abide in his grace now and forever. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we praise you, giving us life. And not just existence, but redeeming us that we might have life and fullness. Giving us, oh God, the gift of a hope that looks beyond even the grave to a life of the world to come. And a hope by the power of your Holy Spirit dwelling within us that even in this world, on this day, in the midst of the challenges that we face, we can know, although we can abide in your grace, that you will raise us up again and again, and that you will give us the strength to bear good fruit in this world, and that you will accomplish your good purpose, because you are who you are. You can be no other. The God of love and of power. The God in whom we hope this day and forever. Amen.